We praise you. We exalt you. We lift up the name that is above all names, Jesus, Father. So we thank you for being here with your presence. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the love of the brethren and sister together. And so, Lord, we just bless you and honor you, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for this church.
Thank you, Father. Yes, Jesus.
And thank you, Father, for the cords of love. Amen. And encouraging one another, strengthening one another.
Yes.
And so with that, Lord, we bless you and we honor you tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, piano player and drummer. Or that's not drums, but piano player. So you, not sure, what is that called that you're playing there, Maria? A what?
Cajon.
A cajon?
A box. You can call it the box. Its official name is Dean.
Dean.
Know
okay.
I like
Dean the box. Yeah. Amen. So just a reminder that is it going to be, what is the date today? So is it next Wednesday? Next Wednesday. So we'll have, so please come. We're going to have some young people here leading worship from Radiant Church, and yeah, and then so if you, Jackson, my daughter-in-law, will be here. If you'd like to, if you haven't met Jackson, Devin will be speaking. So I'd be honored if you guys would be willing to come next week. It's going to be a great time anyway. It's something about when there's young people and there's worship, right, and excitement, and so last time they came, it was awesome, and so it's going to be awesome again.
Amen.
Amen. And if you were here Sunday, wasn't Freddie being here? Wasn't that amazing with Freddie? That was a powerful service. It was an amazing time. It was a special time of worship too, if you recall. Just the sweet presence of the Lord was here. And so, and what Gina was saying, so we had a prophetic word. That means somebody from the body gave a word from the Lord that was for the whole body, which was, He inhabits the praises of His children. Do I have that right, Mom? He inhabits the praises of His children. And so it was amazing. It was just an amazing service, Freddie. And we're going to be doing we'll be talking about it in the future. There's going to be some more collaboration with Freddie's church on some things. He has a church in Mesa. I don't know if he even mentioned that. I didn't, I don't think. But a church in Mesa called Word Life in Mesa. And so we really appreciate Freddie and Tara Lynn being here. Amen. So does anybody know what session we're on? 77. Does anybody know what verse? If you're really paying attention. But when we do this, it's hard to know where we're at, isn't it? 22, who said 23? Okay. See, that's good. That's good. So we've been in John chapter 8. We're in session 77. Isn't it been rich? The book of John is powerful, isn't it? And I just love what the Lord kind of brings out. And it seems like every week as we're going through it, the Lord will bring out a couple nuggets to really, what it's designed for is to really bless our hearts, to encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us. Whatever we need, the Lord is there if we're willing to show us, to meet that need, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to give us wisdom. Amen. Do we need encouragement from? We're living in a day and an age where we really have to encourage one another in this day, in this hour. Amen. Not only to stay strong in Him, but to remain in the truth. Right. So, with so much untruths out there, is anybody kind of gathered that in yet? There's so many untruths that you have to constantly be reminding yourself, asking the Holy Spirit, reminding one another. What's the Word of God says? Speaking and even singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, reminding ourselves of the Lord. So John chapter 8, verse 23, we'll just get into this. And this is Jesus, and He was saying to them, Jesus, you are from below, and I am from above. This is Jesus. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. Isn't that? I mean, these. If you notice about Jesus, He doesn't sugarcoat it. Have you noticed that since we, just being in chapter 8, he does not sugarcoat it. Those that came to him in need, that needed to be healed, he healed all those who came to him. He showed kindness and grace and mercy. But much of the time, what he was talking to them, they did not. He talked to them in parables. They did not hear what he would say, did not understand it. And then he would, remember, he'd meet later when he was with his disciples, and then they'd say, what did you mean? And then he would explain it to them. But even then, much of the time, they did not understand his purpose, what he came to do. What his purpose on earth. They were always thinking this. Remember, what were they thinking? Yeah, Jesus, you're doing this. Okay, you're going to die. You said that. But when are the Romans? When are you going to deal with the Romans? Wasn't that big thing? Remember what was the last thing they said to him before he was caught up in the air? But what about the state of Israel? When is Israel going to be restored? And so they were always along that line. And so Jesus was saying here, says, you are from below. What's that mean? We're born here on the earth, right? We're born on this earth. But Jesus, what he has been from the beginning, he's been with the Father from the beginning. Amen? What did he say before Abraham? I am. And so he says, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. Wow. For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. I mean, you know that that has not changed. Obviously, Jesus went, lived his life, 33 and a half years on this earth, gave his life, shed his blood, right, for our sins, for our sicknesses, amen, for what torments us, which what torments, really, it's the tormentor is sin, this fallen world. And so we live in this fallen world, so there's torments. There's things that come against us. There's things when you don't know him, right? When you don't know him, did you know you're on your own? Did you know when you don't know Jesus as your Savior that it's up to you? And there's some people that love it that way. Of course, that's the way they love it. I take care of myself. I can do it. I'll make my own way. I'll determine what's right or wrong. I'll determine if there's a God or not. So they make their own way. Aren't you glad that at some point in your life you came to the end of yourselves and you realized, man, I need someone to pay for my sins. And it was Jesus Christ. See, it's not a crutch. It's actually the only way to become whole. The truth of the matter is when you don't know Jesus or you're depending on your own strength, you're actually, that's the crutch. I can do it on my own. But you and I, everybody was made with a purpose. Everybody was made in the likeness of God. But it's those that come to the realization, amen, a revelation that without him, we die in our sins. Aren't you glad that you aren't going to die in your sins? You may die before he comes, but when you take that last breath, Don, if he's your Lord and Savior, you're with him. You're in his presence instantly. So it says, he says you're from below and I'm from above, well, how do we look at that now as a born-again, blood-washed, spirit-filled Christian? I'm glad you asked that question. So let's look at a couple of scriptures, Ephesians 2. 4 through 7, Ephesians 2, and it says, this is Paul says, but God being rich in mercy, aren't you glad he's rich in mercy? Amen. Don't forget that he is rich in mercy. We already know the scripture, his mercies are new every morning, but his mercies are rich. He's rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Man, aren't you glad of his love? It says his great love for which he loved us. Man, I'm sure of this. This is one thing I'm sure of, brothers and sisters. It's I have no real comprehension of that love yet. I know a little bit of it, but I just know a little bit. I don't have a comprehension. I want to more and more. Even today, Lord, I want to know you in a better way, Lord. More than having operating in the power of the gifts, that's awesome, but I want to know him more and more. You've heard me say this before. Remember Moses, all the things that he accomplished. It's one of the things. And then what did he say to God? Even being in the tent of meetings, being in the cloud with him on the mountain for 40 days, bringing down the tablets whose were written by the finger of God, seeing the glory of God, amen, parting the Red Sea, performing all those miracles when they came out of Egypt. And what was the true heart of Moses? He says, show me your glory. He says, I want to know you. I want to know you in a personal, real, intimate way. But see, but God, and that's what God wants for us. Think of this worldly love. You know, I love my wife very much, but you know, that's my, and I love my children very much, but that's minute compared to the love of God for you and I. Do you realize that? It's minute. But God being rich in mercy, because, why is he rich in mercy? Because of his great love with which he loved us. Wow. Even when we were dead in our wrongdoings. Do you remember when you were dead in your wrongdoings? What's that mean? Doing your own thing. Doing your own thing. Not even really maybe thinking about the things of God. Or maybe it was side thought. It certainly wasn't the center. We've all been there at some point where Jesus was not the center of our lives. It says, so even when you were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. When he found you and I, man, there was nothing that we could show him and say, yep, here, Lord, let me show you that I belong in your family. Let me convince you that there's something about me that you might like in myself, that you would let me in. You remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about that our righteousness is as filthy rags? Do you remember when we talked about what that really meant? Yeah. I won't mention that again, but if you were here, you'd know what I said. And so it's saying, so we have nothing in ourselves. We can say, Lord, let me in. Yeah, you should have chose me. God, I agree with you. That you shouldn't have chose my friend Bob, but yes, you should have chose me. No, what it says here is when you were dead in your wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. His unmerited favor, his goodness on your life, his strength in you, if you want it, amen, if you believe that, when you don't deserve it even to right now, amen? Amen. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So how have you been saved? By grace. By his mercy. We're in an era of the church right now that we are in grace. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Amen. And so let's continue. Verse 6, it says, and raised us up with him. Aren't you glad he raised you up with him? And it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And see, that's the part where Jesus says, you're from below and I'm from above. But when you become born again, then he raises you up with him. He seats you at his, you're seated with him in heavenly places, having authority. Amen? Having authority. What do you mean by authority? You can pray for the sick. Amen? You can pray for things in your life and ask God's help and strength and ability. You have that direct connection from the Holy Spirit to the throne room of God. See, one thing we realize is God, he doesn't just come down. You've heard me say this. He doesn't just come down to our way of thinking. No, it's much better that he raises us up to his way of thinking. So he takes our worldly way of thinking and he lifts us up with the wisdom and the wisdom through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, to where you and I think the way he thinks. That's what it means to say that we are seated with him in heavenly places. Because I know I'm not seated with him right now. I haven't seen his face. I've never seen an angel. I've never seen heaven, but yet I know it's there. And I know I'm seated with him in heavenly places. By the power of the Holy Spirit that's in me, by faith, and because I have that direct connection that I can hear him. I was with somebody today at lunch, and we were talking about different things, and he was like so many people. He says, yeah, I'm in business and this and that. He says, but there's something in my heart saying, there's more. I want to do something for him. And as we began to speak and talk, and I realized as we were talking that there was many things that God was saying to him, but he didn't realize it. See, sometimes there's a lot of God talks to us more than we realize it. I'm starting to learn that. Because I'm thinking he's going to talk so in such a common way that I speak. But see, his ways are much higher than my ways. And his thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. And so when the Lord says, hey, you haven't even begun to see yet what I have for you. This is what this gentleman was telling me. And I said, that's not you. That's the Lord speaking to you. Means he has things for you outside of your business. 1 Peter 4:10 says that he's given everybody a spiritual gift and that we're to manage it well. That takes time to get there. I understand that. But there comes a time in your life you say, I'm going to pursue that. Little by little, you'll realize that you've got to make a living. It's godly, right? We got to make a living. We've got to take care of families. We got things to take care of, bills. All those things, but you realize in the inside there's much more, Lord, that you have for me of eternal purposes. Let me say this. There could be times where God has been speaking to you and you kind of sloughed it off. I used to do that because that wouldn't be the Lord saying that he has things for me that I don't even understand right now. That's just my prideful mind, Lord. And then I would put myself in a thinking lowly. He's saying, lift up your thinking. Lift up yourself. You're seated with me in heavenly places. Think like me. Amen. He speaks to us about things that he has for our lives if we're willing to listen. You could be in a worship service in church here and God will give you a little glimpse. You could be driving your car. And all of a sudden, God will give you a little something of a desire that will hit your heart. I remember it probably, so 25 years ago, I remember driving a vehicle. I remember where I was at in Prescott Valley. And all of a sudden, this thing on my heart said, you could be pastoring someday. And I said, no, I could not. Get thee behind me, Satan, right? But looking back now, let me just say that different specific times in my life where the Lord would speak to me. And now when he speaks to me, not out of pride, what's my heart? Yes, Lord, I'm yours to command. Remember Freddie said that? Yes, Lord, I am yours to command. Amen. Another time, let me just say we had just been coming, so we've been here 15 years. We'd been coming to the church for like 6 months, and me and Gina were in Sam's Club. Remember Sam's Club? I lament that it closed. But we were just like, I don't know, we were in a section. I felt the presence of God, and this is all I heard. You're going to be involved in that church more than you think. Never forget it. That's one of those times when you feel the presence of God with it, that you hear his voice. Why am I saying that? We have this lowly way of thinking. The Lord wants us to think much higher. He wants us to hear his voice. You know, what we do is as we are in the Word of God, amen, as we're in the Word of God, as we're with one another, as we're in this atmosphere, as you create an atmosphere in your life to hear his voice, regardless of how young you are or how old you are, you'll begin to hear his voice, and you'll be able to say, you'll be able to discern that and say, Lord, that's you. That's you. Taking us from our way of thinking, the world, and lifting us up to his way of thinking. He has so much more for us. Amen? And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus so that in the ages to come, this is wonderful, so that in the ages to come, he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So in the ages to come, that sounds like a very long time, that he's going to show us his boundless riches of grace and mercy. Did you know when you get to heaven that not everything's going to be revealed? We'll see the Son, we'll see the Father, we'll see the angels, we'll see all the glory of God, but we'll be learning about his grace and his goodness and his mercy and his power for ages and ages to come. Amen. We'll never exhaust what God has for his people, starting right now a little bit. It's just a little bit, but starting right now, he is what? He's showing us his boundless grace and his mercy. Let me just read a couple more scriptures, if I may. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him who... So here we go. So we're going to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. It says, in him, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel, right? The gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise. Wow. Here's what we're talking. I'm going to start switching a few things, maybe to a little bit of an inheritance, okay? Because we have an inheritance in him, and it doesn't begin when you die. Well, how do you know? Because the scripture says. So verse 14 says, who is a first installment of our inheritance? So we have an inheritance that goes on forever and ever, right? But what's the first installment right now is the Holy Spirit that you have in you. Isn't that amazing how that says that in the NASB? That is the first installment of your inheritance. You could read a trust. You could be a child, a trust fund baby. Let's just imagine that. And it may have that says in there, it says, okay, John, Bob, Bill gets $1 million as their first installment. And then another later date to be determined, it may, or has it there, another installment. Does that make sense? So we have an inheritance that never fades, amen? It never fades, amen? So your first installment of this inheritance that you live in Christ right now is you have what? You have the Holy Spirit. So verse 14 again, who is the first installment of our inheritance? The Holy Spirit in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. So whose possession? Who do you belong to? You belong to Jesus. You belong to God the Father. He bought you with a price. Amen. You've been redeemed. He's given you the Holy Spirit, and that is your first installment. And I'm telling you, that's quite an installment. Because you're born again, you have a born again spirit, you're able to communicate with God, you have the power of God inside of you. He leads and guides you, amen? He's the one that'll strengthen you. He's the one that brings you from these low places up to heavenly places with him. And it's only just to begin, but it is a powerful installment that you have the Holy Spirit. It says that we are the temple of God, which the Spirit of God lives in us. That is an amazing inheritance that you and I have. In regards to the redemption. Let's continue. There's some other scriptures regarding that. Galatians 3:14. Amen. It says, in order that that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of who? Of Abraham. So we've talked about that many times. You're children of Abraham, right? You've been grafted in into that vine, right? He said he would be the father of many nations. So in order that Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, would come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit by how? By faith. You know, when I've talked about like praying in tongues, can I just say something about that? Because speaking in tongues or baptism of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I know people have experienced this mighty outpouring on their lives, and that's amazing. But let me just say this for me, I didn't experience that way. But I did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. As I by faith began to speak in tongues, I've told you the story before. How did I do it? Did I feel any electricity or power? No. I just opened my mouth and I began to speak. And then as I began to speak, and day after day, and the enemy was saying, that's just you. Guess what I did? Something in me just said, keep speaking. So in my time of prayer, I would just keep praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues. And what began to happen is I began to build myself up in my most holy faith. So I just want to say that, how did it say? It says, so that we could receive the promise of the Spirit by how? By faith. Sometimes we got to realize where we have experiences, God, I understand that. But it says right here that you receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And have I had experiences in God after that? Yes. But by then, just something in me just says, open your mouth and begin to speak. And that's what I did. And so now I pray in tongues often. And it's just something that faith has turned strong. It's something that builds me up. And it's a glorious thing. Sometimes I think what happens is it depends on our experiences or upbringing or what we've seen in other church services. We can make things harder. We can make things more difficult. We can make things more intimidating than they need to be. You don't even have to be in a church service to experience the power of God flowing in your life. Is it one of the ways? Yes, but it's only one of the ways. When you leave here, you take the Holy Spirit with you, right? Everywhere you go, he's there. He's not up there somewhere just learning. Look at, he is up there going to and fro the earth looking for those whose hearts are towards him. But he lives in you and I, so everywhere we go, he's there. Amen. Receive the Holy Spirit by faith. The Israelites received an inheritance, right? We know in the natural. Let me just read these few things real quick. Numbers 34, 1 and 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, give these instructions to the Israelites and tell them, when you enter Canaan, the land that has been assigned to you as an inheritance. I just want to say this, that still belongs to Israel. It's still an inheritance, amen? It still is a promise to Abraham that God's going to move, we know, in these days. He's moving now and will move upon the people in Israel. But that inheritance of that land, let me just say this, it still belongs to him. Read the last chapter of Ezekiel, and it talks about how that land will always belong to Israel. And it also says they won't be discerning or separating the people of Israel, the children of Israel, by the different tribes. It wouldn't be so. Isn't that what we see now in Israel? So if you read that last chapter of Ezekiel, it's pretty interesting. Let me continue. Deuteronomy 4, 19 and 20. And be careful not to raise your eyes to heaven and look at the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly lights, and allow yourself to be drawn away and worship them and serve them, things which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. Man, he's given the stars to you and I to look at those things and say, wow, God, look how amazing you are. Look how powerful you are. Look at what you've accomplished. You made the stars that we could look up in the sky and look at them in wonder. 20, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people of his own possession as today. And so what I'm saying, this inheritance, you and I are the possession of God. Amen. We belong to him. Isn't it wonderful to know that I belong to him? That he takes care of me? That he's given me this inheritance that shall be fulfilled when I see him face to face? It's wonderful to know that I belonged to him. Look, I didn't redeem myself. He redeemed me. I didn't get myself straightened up enough with my attitude, my heart, my struggles for him to accept me. No, he washed me in his blood even when I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Hallelujah. Remind yourself of that, because the world will not, and the devil certainly will not. So you have to remind yourselves of these truths of the word. Amen? To keep us confident in him, strengthening him. Amen? Let's continue. I got to continue. Psalm 16, 5 through 6. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. I love this scripture. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. We're going to come back to that. The measuring lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, my inheritance is beautiful to me. Wow, I'm so glad that, you know, when you look at that lot in the Hebrew, they used to cast lots, right? You remember when they had to replace Judas? They cast a lot between two guys. What did they do when they took Jesus' one-piece woven garment? They cast lots for them. See, this is what it's saying. He says, you support my lot. See, the Lord, we don't just cast lots. Say, Lord, wherever the chips fall, they may fall. You've heard that saying, where the chips fall, they fall. But it's saying that, Lord, you support my lot. You know every area of my life. You know from beginning to end. You know the things that are going to come my way. You know the things that you have for me. You know the blessings that you have for me. You're the one who I can trust. You've determined those things. Man, the measuring lines of my life, the expanse of my life, what I'm going to do in my life, what can happen in my life, Lord, you're the one that's made those fall in pleasant places. What do I need to do? I just trust him. I follow him. I say, Lord, here I am. I'm yours to command, knowing that he's made the way, that he's the one that supports me. I don't have to go somewhere and just hope the chips fall where they may, that my life is just going to happen however it turns out. No, he's leading me and guiding me. Even when Joseph was in that pit, God was leading him and guiding him. You know, I'll be talking about this Sunday. You've got that scripture in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And then I realized, because many of what Paul said came from the Old Testament anyway, and that scripture comes from when Joseph is talking to his brothers, and he says this because he forgave them. And they sold him into slavery, and he says, all things work together for good. He says, what you guys meant for evil, God has meant for good, and he's turned these things around. Even when you find yourself in a pit or in a struggle, know that God saw that. He can bring you, he'll bring you out of that if you'll trust him. Amen. Amen. And you can say with confidence in your heart that, say, Lord, all things work together for good. You worked this out. I trusted you, and you've made things work out. That scripture coming when Joseph was talking to his brothers, who, if he had held resentment against them, which he had a right to, he could have fried them. But he says, all things work together for good. Hallelujah. See, our lives. You know, they drew lots when they were dividing the land for the 12 tribes. Did you know that? So they all came together, and there wasn't all this fighting about, no, we want here, we want north, we want south, we want east, we want west, we want that plain, we want those mountains. No, they said, we're drawing lots, and whatever they come up to, that's the boundaries of the land that's given that particular tribe. The wonderful thing now is this, that he is the one that draws up the lots. He's the one that determines in the end where the chips fall. He's the one that leads and guides us. We can trust him that it's not by chance. No, he's leading me every step of the way. It is not by chance anybody now, when I come in contact with somebody who I haven't seen for a while, what's the first thing I say? Lord, that's not by chance. I start praying for that person, because it's not by chance. 1 Peter 1:4, we're going to continue. The balance of our inheritance. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, it will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Jesus says, I go away to build you a mansion. And where I be, you shall be. You've heard me say it, I love what this guy named Keith Green, he was popular back in the 70s and 80s. He says, man, if God's been working on heaven for 2,000 years, and it took him 6 days to make the earth, man, we're living in a garbage can. Man, our reservation with him is reserved. Nobody can take that away. You know, the only way that our inheritance is hindered here is believe in the lies of the enemy. Choosing to believe in circumstances that somehow things that he's not watching, that he's not there, that he doesn't care. No, on the contrary, he sees that. And a matter of fact, some of those things that we deal with can actually refine our lives. Did you know that? It can make us stronger and say, I'm trusting in you. Look at Joseph. What are the things that he learned that all of a sudden God turned that around in a second? He went from being in prison to being in second position. Amen? All those struggles he went through, all those times. And for him to say that, hey, you meant it for evil, but God has turned it for good, because now look, I'm able to help many, many people. Hallelujah. I want to mention this, 1 Samuel 10:1. Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on Saul's head, kissed him, and said, "Has the Lord not anointed you as ruler over his inheritance?" As I began to prepare for this, I realized, what's God get out of this? you know what he gets out of all this? He gets you and I. You know what Jesus' inheritance is? It's you and I. Did you know that he's the firstborn? It says he's the firstborn among many brethren and sistren. Amen. Jesus' inheritance. He has everything in heaven already, does he not? What else could God or Jesus want? Read a couple more scriptures, Isaiah 8:18. It says, "Behold, I believe this is Isaiah, but I believe this is Jesus. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of armies who dwells in Mount Zion." Amen. Romans 8:29, we already read that. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So this thing is, we have an inheritance which is heaven, and it's the Lord Jesus. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, let me just read this last scripture. I read this, says, "So that he might sanctify her," he's talking about his church, "having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself," who's himself? Jesus, "the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." You and I are the bride of Christ. He's given us a great inheritance in him. And as I prepared for this, it just dawned on me, what does Jesus get out of this deal? His inheritance is you and I. Taking back what the enemy has stolen. Taking back that you and I are children of God in the beginning, in the garden, right? And then Adam and Eve giving that away, the curse coming to the earth, people being born in sin, amen? And then the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, restoring all of that, purchasing us, amen? And now becoming children of God again. That is the inheritance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It says that he's coming for a church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Amen. As you know, the thing is, Jesus, and we don't know when he's going to return, but I know one thing. Even as today in my life in Samaria, we can all struggle. And just saying, "Lord, I give this to you. I don't want this being a problem in my life. I want it out of my life. I want this area to be truly pleasing to you with no condemnation." Just saying, "Lord, thank you. You're coming for a bride, holy and blameless." Can you rise with me? Aren't you glad that he's leading and guiding you? You don't leave it up to where the chips fall. That we have an inheritance in him reserved in heaven, amen? And that he loves us, that he's leading and guiding us, and he's given us he's given us a portion of that inheritance now in the form of the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. His blessings on our life, his goodness in our lives, his heart being connected with our hearts, him showing us his ways, him teaching us his paths. And he loves us with a love, an undying love, a love that we could not imagine, that it will be revealed to us through eternity. So, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for encouraging us, Lord, in you. Thank you for strengthening us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to realize somehow even a little glimpse of how much you love us. And so with that, Lord, we praise you and we exalt you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen.